Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So the big topic is going to be, until we have a decision, what is Tom Brady's future? And I have spent a lot of time, Steve Versnick, asking people about this, and I listened to Tom Brady's Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray on Monday. We'll get into those comments. I thought it was pretty revealing. Here's what I think, as Peter King would say. I think that at best, according to my sources that I've talked to with the Bucks and others, at best, it's 50-50. Now, that sounds like a cop-out, right? Well, he may or may not. Look, when you consider that Tom Brady has played as long as he has, and he's never been to the point where this was ever a question, right? It was always, we don't think he can play anymore. We don't want him to play anymore. He can go somewhere else if he wants to, that sort of thing. There's been people that doubted that he would be any good, right, if he continued playing. But he has never gotten to the point where he said, yeah, I'm not sure. He is now not sure. And that is a sort of monumental right place to be in time, especially if you're the Buccaneers, and certainly if you're Tom Brady or his family. So, you know, you can talk to Bruce Arians, and of course they're trying to give him as much space as possible. The Bucs are not pushing him for an answer, much less 24 hours or so after they played their final game and lost, you know, to the Los Angeles Rams. But, you know, naturally they like to know sooner than later because they got about, you know, half the guys that started in that game on Sunday are free agents. So, well, you certainly need to know.
They would like to know, but he's under contract for next season. He doesn't have to decide anything until the day before the season.
Right.
He could announce a retirement.
That's right.
And it's not like he's a free agent.
That's
they
right.
need an answer because free agency comes up mid-March. He's under right. contract. He can retire mm-hmm. anytime he chooses, and it doesn't have to be on the Bucs timeline.
Which, listen, and that's true. I believe that he would do the Bucs a solid, given what they've done for him the last couple of years. And
I
let's
agree.
Face it, that he's done more for them. But I think before the start of free agency, which is mid-March, we're still, you know, we're in January still. I mean, it's, you know, we're not to March or February yet, much less March. So he does have time. And he said, look, we don't play football for a long time. When he says that, I don't think he's talking about August. I think he's talking about OTAs, which he never participates in. I think he's talking about maybe a mandatory minicamp, which he did. So, you know, he's got a while. He's got till mid-March, even if the Bucks had to know by then. And they will need to know because it affects the salary cap. It certainly affects which free agents you sign. It will affect which free agents will want to come back, potentially, including a guy like Rob Gronkowski. But I think, and he said some of these things before, I've heard these sound bites a little bit at times when Tom has speculated about being closer to the end than the beginning. But I don't know, to hear him now, I think he's really conflicted. And of course, the thing is, not he knows he can play. He just completed a year where he led the league in passing. He always said that he would quit if he sucked, but he's far from sucking right now. And so that's also feeding into this. It would probably be much easier had he seen his skills erode and he doesn't feel like he's playing at a championship level. Well, he is absolutely playing at a championship level. So it's not about football. You know, it's not about his love of the game or his lack of love of the game. It's not about physically whether he can, you know, handle it and hold up. It's not about the grind and the mental fatigue and anguish. He loves his teammates. He loves the grind of football. That's part of the attraction, challenge himself. It's really about his family. That's all this comes down to is, you know, he has sacrificed. They have sacrificed so much. And now he has three kids. One, his oldest, I think, is 14, that lives in New York. with Bridget Moynihan, his former girlfriend, and of course he's got two with Gisele Bündchen and Bündchen. And how do you say her name? Bündchen. Let's just say Gisele. And so, you know, and they're getting older. Like they are now doing things. They are not babies. They're into sports and they're into different things. And when you immerse yourself the way Tom Brady does for 6 months, not a whole lot of family time there. Now in the off season, he has maximized his time and done a lot of things. And he was having waffles with his little daughter, Vivi, you know, while he was doing the podcast with Jim Gray, you know, in the morning on, you know, sometime on Monday. But, you know, he just said that, you know, as I've gotten older, and this is Tom Brady speaking, I think the best part of football, I think the best part is football is extremely important in my life, and it means a lot to me. And he said, and the biggest difference now that I'm older is I have kids now too, and I care about them a lot as well. They've been my biggest supporters. My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. She deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. And, you know, he talks about how he wants to be around. You know, there's a lot of joy in his life from playing football, but he says, now that my kids are getting older, seeing them develop and grow, all these things need to be considered, and they will be, you know. So he's very conflicted. You know, he says that if he's not fully committed to doing what he can do to play at a championship level, the team doesn't deserve anything less than his best. And so if he's conflicted at all, obviously he wouldn't play. He'd let it have somebody else do it. And then he mentioned Kobe Bryant, you know, who, well, of course, was a friend of his. And he said, God rest his soul. But you think you're going to live forever. We're not. And we think we're going to play forever. And we're not. So what can we do? We enjoy the moments we have. And he talked about, you know, even though they lost, how he enjoyed playing in the game, competing in the game, all that stuff. So football is still, he's still really good at it. He still really loves it. He loves everything about it. He loves his teammates. He loves challenging himself and all of that. But he's really at a point now where, you know, he wants to be a Hall of Fame dad. He wants to be a Hall of Fame husband. And there's just going to come a point where that's not possible because his kids are older and involved in so much. And as he said, how does he know? You keep playing, and then something happens, and you've missed all those years with your children because life isn't guaranteed to anybody. So I really do think that, you know, for the first time, this is real. Like, he could really retire. And the people that work with him every day, the people that know him best, they think it's could go either way. And I don't even know that Tom knows as we sit here and talk about this tonight. I don't know that he knows what he's going to do. But I do know that, you know, he doesn't want a retirement tour. He doesn't want to announce that, yeah, this will be my last year. But that's also bothers him because he says, I'm too competitive for that. I don't want people saying, oh, well, you know, here, to have a rocking chair and, you know, that, you know, take the tour like some people have done in the past. So he's really in kind of an interesting spot, but the Bucks are right there with him. Think about where this puts the Bucks. They're willing to wait. Believe me, they're willing to wait because the chance of getting Tom Brady back, the way he's playing, they'd be all in and try to win another Super Bowl. But there is a little bit of a chicken and the egg. Like, he needs to let them know so that they can influence some of these free agents they want to bring back.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. I mean, like I said, he could retire anytime he chooses, but, you know, the roster decisions have to be made well before then. From free agency in March to the draft to, you know, late April, early May, whenever it is this year. So all that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, the roster, if he wants to come back, if the family doesn't sway him to where he doesn't want to come back, if he's considering coming back, how they remake this roster, and they're going to have to based on the number of free agents they have, is going to probably impact that decision. Because, you know, look, he's going to be 45 in August. He's not looking for a rebuild. Mm-hmm. Now, not that the Bucks are in a rebuild situation, but You know, he's not looking to, okay, let's, you know, it's going to take 2 or 3 years to get this group back to where we're Super Bowl ready. And I'm not saying that's where the Bucs are, but, you know, decisions from Jason Pierre-Paul and Dominick Sue and what they've, you know, Chris Godwin, you know, was on a franchise tag this year, and Carlton Davis, and, you know, all the free agents they have, Rob Gronkowski, et cetera. You know, they've got some decisions to make and how they want to prepare this roster. You know, if there is no Tom Brady coming back, and for argument's sake, let's say they don't go get Aaron Rodgers if he leaves Green Bay, you know, how are they, you know, are they looking to build this roster for a Super Bowl this year, or is it, you know, it's going to take 2 or 3 years and figure out our quarterback, and, you know, and that impacts who they may sign and what they may do.
Yeah, I mean, all that's important, and you know, I'll throw in guys like Ryan Jensen and Alex Kappa. You know, they got two offensive linemen that are free agents. You know, obviously Gronk is probably going to do what Tom does or greatly be influenced by what he does. I don't know that Gronk's never played for another quarterback, never played a game without Tom Brady. I think what he enjoys is being his teammate and playing here. You know, so there's I think 11 of the guys that started again on Sunday are free agents, and there's more than that. When you factor in Chris Godwin and some others, Brady said, I said this a few years ago, it's what relationships are all about. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and figure out the future and what's next. He thinks, you know, you're selfish if you always do what you want to do and not what others need or want you to do. So, interesting, and a couple other like kind of sidebars to that is that we talked to Bruce Arians, who of course doesn't know. Or says he doesn't know what Tom Brady will do. And I asked Bruce, I said, is it possible that your next quarterback is already on your roster? Now, the only other guy that's actually signed besides Brady is Kyle Trask. And he had a redshirt season. You know, he wasn't active one game in the regular season or the postseason. So he basically went out there every day, practiced his butt off, did scouts stuff, worked extra with Clyde Christensen and others, and tried to hone his craft, but he hasn't played football now in a year against, you know, any meaningful situation other than the preseason. So, you know, that said, what Bruce Arians said, he goes, well, he could be, and I'd be okay with that. He goes, but we would probably look what's behind door number two. We did that before and we found Tom Brady. So he's kind of signaling that, you know what? Love Kyle Trask, not committed to him being my starter if Tom leaves. We're going to go see what else is out there, which is fascinating because, you know, Brady has sort of given the Bucs this kind of leverage or this kind of opportunity with other quarterbacks if they're there, if they can be had through trades mostly. I don't think anybody's going to be a free agent that they would be that interested in, but you know, you've got Russell Wilson has made noises about leaving Seattle. You've got, obviously, Aaron Rodgers making a lot of noise about leaving Green Bay. He's still under contract for another year, and I cannot picture Green Bay trading him to an NFC team. I think the same might be true a little bit with Russ. You know, so who's to say who else is out there? But they would look behind door number two and I think try to, you know, sort of recapture. You obviously don't have the GOAT, but you'd have somebody that's an established quarterback that's been a winner coming here with this core, and you know, good players want to play with good players, and so it would certainly help them in free agency and such, and that would probably be the way they would go. I mean, I don't sense that they're ready to turn it over to Kyle after one red shirt season. And you know, Blaine Gabbert could re-sign. He's a free agent. I've heard talk that Blaine could be like that. Blaine could be this bridge quarterback to Trask and have him compete. But let's be honest, you're not going to, you know, you went from winning, you know, 15 and 5 and winning the Super Bowl and 14 and whatever they were this year. And, you know, you're going to go to essentially a rookie quarterback, perhaps, or a very, you know, a very older veteran that hasn't really accomplished much in his career. And you're going to win 6-7 games. I mean, that's a huge culture change for this organization. And, you know, all I'm saying is, like, you know, the sooner you can let us know, the better, Tom, because obviously we've got to make other plans and try to find a quarterback. I don't know that I'd ever draft a quarterback anymore unless he just looked like, you know, the John Elway. I think it's really tough these days to draft and develop guys. And then, you know, you mentioned this before, like, you know, Bruce has told me he's coming back, and he said it again in the press conference on Monday when we did the sort of the post-mortem on the season on Zoom call. He said he is coming back to coach. He also allowed, and I thought this was kind of a message to Brady, because Byron Leftwich today, which we'll get into, is interviewing in person in Jacksonville. It's his second interview with the Jaguars, and there certainly is a lot of smoke there and perhaps some fire because he was drafted by that organization. He played quarterback there for 4 years. He is a top candidate for that Jaguars job. If he leaves, Bruce just allowed today that he would consider calling plays. And he'd probably, you know, utilize some of the other guys on the staff to do some of the, you know, some of the grind stuff, but he would be the guy in the meetings. He would be the guy on the headset. He'd be the guy with the play call sheet and would do it on Sunday. So that's, you know what that sounded like to me, Steve? That sounded like a message to Brady. That sounded like, hey, you know, we may lose Byron Leftwich and they may know that that's going to happen or be very confident he could get the job when he goes up there today. And that's almost like, you know, okay, there's nobody really ready on the staff. I mean, they love Thaddeus Lewis, who's the backup or assistant receivers coach that played quarterback at Duke and has been with about half a dozen organizations. They think he's going to be special like Byron, but maybe he's not there yet. So it's almost like, hey, Tom, we're good. I got you. I'll call the plays. If you wake up tomorrow and Byron Leftwich is gone, don't panic. Don't let that weigh into your decision.
It sounds like a message to Tom, but it could also be a message to Aaron or Russell or anybody else too.
Great point.
The Bucs can be kind of toting a dual line of, hey, we want Tom. Tom, please come back. But mm-hmm. if you don't, we're already looking. We're willing to look behind door number two. The quarterback's not necessarily on the roster right now if Tom leaves. So,
right.
If you're Aaron Rodgers, you're Russell Wilson or another top quarterback that potentially could mm-hmm. be moved or traded. Or
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
If you could fork that out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that, hey, I'm going to be the one on the headset. I'm going to be mm-hmm. the one calling plays. I'm not handing it to some guy who's never done it before.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I got you.
Not say you're not grooming.
I got you. I'm good.
Yep. Yeah. Not say not grooming, but it's a message to everyone, including Tom.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Hey, folks, we'll take a – I want to remind people before we go further on the podcast that the 18th Annual Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete is presented by RP Funding. It happens this year, February 25th to the 27th. Speaking of great events in February, the temporary circuits is a 1.8-mile, 14-turn configuration, and they use the streets circling Pioneer Park, the Duke Energy Center for the Arts, the Daly Museum, and extends, of course, onto the runways at Albert Whitted Airport. Just a phenomenal race, a phenomenal picturesque scene for a race. Go visit gpstpete.com. That's gpstpete.com for race information and tickets. I think that Byron Leftwich has done a good job. I think Byron has probably learned more football from Tom than Tom learned from Byron. Obviously Byron was instrumental in teaching him this offense, this terminology, their concepts, their way of doing things. But in the end, we saw this offense sort of, as it should, morph into something that looked like what Tom Brady is used to doing, comfortable doing, wants to do, all of that. But Byron does it all. I mean, Byron doesn't get a lot of help from Harold Goodwin, who's a run game coordinator. He doesn't get any help from Bruce. He doesn't get any help from Clyde. He's been the guy with Tom sort of hashing out these game plans. He's made his mark. I mean, he has been a guy that's been successful. They were second in the league behind Dallas in points per game, and Dallas ran up the score on some teams that, you know, didn't have anybody to play or were resting guys or whatever. They had a couple 50-point games, which certainly helped them. But over the last 3 years, you know, their scoring offenses have been near the top of the league, almost 30 points a game. And yet the head coaching position is so different than just calling plays. And he may go up there and call plays if he gets the job in Jacksonville. But what he does have is a guy like Trevor Lawrence. And even though people might be a little you know, suspect about the Jaguars organization or Trent Baalke, their GM or whatever, with all that went down with Urban Meyer and that mess. It's hard to say no when you're offered one of these jobs. There's only 32 of them in the world. And if you want to be a head coach with the track record currently, especially that the league has, you know, with just one African-American head coach at that, but you're a quarterback, a former quarterback, and what better guy to have seen the game from behind the center in the NFL to coach you than a guy like Byron Leftwich, who was, you know, a first-round pick of his own in that very organization. So he knows what that is like to be a quarterback and come to Jacksonville and, you know, and try to learn and develop, you know, while you're playing as a young guy and not a great team around you. So he has so many similar experiences that he would be able to impart on a guy like Trevor Lawrence. But there's more to the job. I mean, you're in charge of everything and everybody. The things that cross the coach's head coach's desk is everything sometimes but coaching. And so, you know, I don't know how he will do. He's a likable guy. He's very affable. He's, I think, very smart. I think he sees the big picture. I don't think he's just a, you know, let's throw it every down guy. I think, you know, he tries to stay balanced. He understands complementary football. He knows how to win games. I think he's probably learned more about winning football games with Brady as a coach than he has in a long time. So if he goes, it's a loss for the Bucs, and we'll see how they fill that hole, whether it's Bruce Arians or Thaddeus Lewis or whomever. And then Todd Bowles is still up for a bunch of jobs. And my sense is that Bowles probably won't get it. And I could be dead wrong about this, but you know, I don't know that his interviews have gone all that well. They want to know who your offensive staff is. I don't know that he has just a bunch of guys that he's locked up that would come with him. It's interesting. I think there's a better chance that Leftwich gets a job than Bowles, even though Bowles has been a head coach. He might be more qualified. He's certainly older. And that kind of leaves you back to Arians, which, you know, Bruce has told me and others, he told us today, that he plans on coming back and coaching at age, going to be 70 years old in October. And I had asked him, well, what if he leaves? You coming back either way? He goes, yes. I don't know what he could have said before the playoff game. It would have made a headline, and that's probably not a great idea to try to deflect away from what you're trying to win games. If you go, oh, no, this is my last game, I'm done after the playoffs, whatever. However, things could change. Like, I think you brought up a great point before the podcast, Steve. We were talking, and you said, well, what if Brady doesn't come back? Does that change his mind? It might. I asked him with or without Brady, but, you know, what could he say at that point?
Well, but with or without Brady, is your quarterback Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. Is it Russell Wilson?
Right.
You know,
well, there you
who's
go.
Your quarterback?
You're right. So I could make a case, okay, we don't have Brady, but we got Russ, I'm good. But if you go, we don't have Brady and I got Blaine Gabbert, maybe I'm not good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Andy has a health issue, and now he's going to have surgery on the torn Achilles, which is going to take him off his feet for months, as Mark Topkin, who just had it. Ultimately, hopefully, he'll feel better. But he's had a bunch of health problems, and we know what they are. By the same token, I think he has a good gig, but if you're going to add play calling to it and maybe longer hours, perhaps that's why he sort of left Arizona. And that's why when he came to Tampa, he told the Glazers, I'm not calling plays. So if he did, that's more on his plate for sure. So it's just, there's just a lot of uncertainty. I can't remember an offseason, and of course it starts with the quarterback, but I can't remember an offseason. Well, 2 years ago, I guess you could say the same thing sort of happened, right? I mean,
yeah.
I thought it was obvious in my mind when Jameis Winston threw the pick six to end his career in Tampa in the game against Atlanta. I was convinced that Arians has had enough. And the one thing I know about Bruce is he doesn't shoot the bull. Like if Arians makes up his mind, from what I understand about him, it's made up. Like you're not going to change it. And from that moment, I sensed that he was done with Jameis Winston. And nothing was going to make that different, even if they didn't get Tom Brady. I don't know what his thoughts are about the quarterback position and how that would affect him if he couldn't get somebody, you know, that was a winner. And I think the team, you know, doesn't want to go back into the drafting mode, and they pick 27th, so there's not going to be a quarterback there that you're going to be able to plug and play. It's going to be totally different vibe around here, even though they hope the culture has been built and people now hold each other accountable, and some of the things that Brady brought in, attention to detail and all of that. Does that go out the window if you don't have the player here? Or do the core guys that worked with him now fully understand what the sacrifice is in and off the field, you know, to win a championship, because they're all world champions? You know, so there's a lot to unpack here, but it's going to be a fascinating offseason.
And you thought your days of coaching searches and all this stuff in the offseason was behind you for a little while.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think 25 out of the 30 years it's been a coach quarterback every year, you know, and that's the recipe for disaster in this league. Change the coach, change the quarterback, and the Bucs have done that with quite regularity, you know, up until when they got Bruce, and we'll see how long he goes because of his age and everything else. Hey, folks, set in the downtown streets of the Sunshine City, it's the 18th annual Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete. It's presented this year by RP Funding, and it kicks off Florida's spring break season with some high-speed excitement. Go to gpstpete.com for all your race information and tickets. Another racing season starts right here in St. Petersburg.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So I don't know if you had a chance to read John Romano's excellent column in today's Tampa Bay Times. You can read on tampabay.com, but he sort of, you know, took apart, dissected, otherwise looked at the final two plays on defense that led to Matt Gase's 30-yard game-winning field goal, which ended the Bucs' season. It really is something that, you know, obviously teams this weekend did more with less, right? I mean, we can get into Kansas City's 13 seconds to tie the game and put it in overtime, which was remarkable. But the Bucs, you know, when they scored the game-tying touchdown, Leonard Fournette on 4th-and-1 breaks containment and runs it in the end zone. You can't tell them to sit down or fall down in that situation because you're down a touchdown. And so
you have
in
to
the
score.
End zone and
you
lose about 42. You have to score. Yeah, on that one, you can't just say, hey, fall down and we'll try to score a few minutes from now. So he scores. They tie the game and the place is going. I mean, it's coming apart. For those, by the way, how many of those fans? There was a ton of fans that left. And I guess you can't blame them. In a sense, I mean, this game was 24-3 at one point, 27-3. So at 27-3, I can see why you're like, I'm not going to watch this. However, when it got kind of tight, it's like I looked up and it was like, it's about half the people have gone. They got this on their radios going, wait a minute, should we turn around? Can we go back in the stadium? Players, you know who else noticed? Players noticed it. Mike Evans noticed that. That bothered with him. It sat with him. So they make this great rally, and you know, they kick off, and you know, basically, they, you know, the Rams use their final timeout, and there were two plays that got them down. They're both completions to Cooper Kupp. The last one, of course, was on the blitz we'll talk about in a minute that seems like a silly call and will be one that will haunt them, I think, for years to come. But the play before that, in some respects, was almost more important because they had the right defense called, I thought. They had man coverage, but plus two deep safeties, try to keep guys from going over the top. And, you know, Cooper Kupp is running sort of a crossing route. Well, Sean Murphy bunting, and this is kind of a freaky thing, like you never want this to happen in a game, but it did. He's running with him. But then he steps on him. He trips over Cooper Kupp, like falls down. And so Kupp has instant separation. makes the play. And then the other thing that goes wrong is he gets out of bounds. They don't tackle him in bounds. So he fights and gets out of bounds, which stops the clock. And then that set up what was just, I don't know how else to say it, just a horrifically bad call on defense by Todd Bowles, who decides to go cover zero, which means no safety, down the field. Even though this team still has to go a bunch of yards with no timeouts, you're kind of challenging them to throw it, in that situation. But at first they said, well, we didn't get it communicated. Then Bruce Arians said on Monday, no, I was wrong. It was communicated, although Lavonte David's in no man's land. He's just kind of standing there. And Cooper Kupp got on top of Antoine Winfield Jr. like before he could even recognize it and blew by him. And, of course, Stafford made the perfect pass. But that whole sequence there, like Bruce Arians even said, I'd like to take the 40 seconds back last night. I'd like to do that over again. And they're getting roasted for it on national TVs and all the NFL shows. And you know what? They should. That was just bad ball. That's all that was, man. And I guess Sue was in Matthew Stafford's face. So if a couple seconds later he plants him in the ground, it's a sack, and the game ends, we're all singing a different tune. I get it. But you talk about no risk it, no biscuit. Man, oh, man, that was Todd Bowles going all in. And for a multitude of reasons, they didn't play it right, they didn't line up right, and they got bit by it.
Well, Matthew Stafford this season was the best quarterback against the blitz in the NFL, period.
Thank you.
And you were getting home for the most part late in that game without having to blitz. Definitely not a zero blitz. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I didn't understand the play call. I mean, you're making it in the heat of the moment there and going, but and I guess you're trying to catch them by surprise because you hadn't done that. But
I mean, they just watched the play go for 20 yards and the Kupp, when I thought they had the right defense called, which is you play man under, you play the two deep safeties, and you try to funnel things in the middle of the field since they don't have any timeouts if you can. You try to tackle inbounds. You try to do those things. Bruce Arians said something. He goes, they only needed, after that one completion, he said they really only needed about 12 yards. Well, no, that's not true. I mean, Matt Gay has a strong leg, but not on Sunday. He tweaked something in warmups. He tried a 45-yarder that was short. No NFL kicker is going to leave a 45-yard field goal short unless something is hurt with them.
Watching on TV, it was good.
And
I mean, it was right down the –
it looked good.
It was good. Everyone was like, good. Yeah. What? Short? Huh?
It was short. Nobody kicks it short from 45. And even he looked stunned that he had done it, but his leg was not the same, And so Bruce Arians says they only needed 12 more yards. Now, for like a bomb, for like 59, 58 yards, they needed 12. They really needed about 22 or 23 yards, at that point. And so the idea that you would panic and say, oh, my God, we just allowed a completion, and one more completion, they could be in field goal range. We got to go get this guy, and this game's going to end in a sack. It sounds good. But boy, was that a gamble, and they got absolutely roasted. And it's such a horrific way to lose, right? After you battle back from 27-3. And let's face it, I think we would have been talking about as much about the Rams' collapse as the Bucs' victory, even though Tom Brady, would have been, certainly another landmark for him, right? After the Super Bowl 51 and all that went on, back in the day against the Atlanta Falcons and the comeback he had there. But it's like, how did you get two worst plays in that situation? And Matthew Stafford delivered on both, and it was Cooper Kupp's. Not like this guy, where did he come from? Like, he has broken every receiving record known to man this year. So far be it to lose sight of where Cooper Kupp is on every play. But boy, they did, and he burned them, and it's one. As great as this season was in some ways, resiliency, the hangover from the Super Bowl, being relevant all year, winning a playoff game, like all the good things just sort of slide out the window by one play that will always, this game, whenever you think about it 20 years from now, you'll think about Yeah, and then they gave up that deep ball to Cooper Kupp. Like, what were they thinking? They blitzed. They had no safeties over the top. So, yeah, it's one that I hope Todd Bowles doesn't have to explain on interviews if he does more with for the head coaching jobs, because it just didn't make any sense. All right, and one more thing about the NFL. I'm sure, I was kind of watching with one eye open and my other on the computer when the Kansas City Chiefs, closed out the Buffalo Bills. First, they had to get into overtime. Josh Allen deserved a better fate. He was phenomenal. He leads his team down in the final minute. They score a touchdown. And they've got a three-point lead with, 14 seconds? Is that what was left on the clock? 13 seconds. Okay, so 13 seconds on the clock. Now, a whole bunch of people have kind of scrutinized this. Like, the first thing that people thought of was, why didn't you squib kick it?
Mm-hmm.
You could have squib kicked the ball, make them field it. That's going to run off a few seconds, and then they only get one play. So that was a possibility.
Now, they had all their timeouts,
and
the Chiefs.
Then, of course, they did. They did. So, okay, even if you split it up, you go, maybe they get three plays. Maybe they get – but the point is you could have burned some time. Instead, you had a touchback, mm-hmm. and no clock moved. And then, just allowing some of the completions, like no jam of the receivers on this one route, basically to Kelsey. Kelsey had said, I'm just going to run it, in the area where they're not and just get open. And kind of like a street ball player, like, hey, man, go get open. Okay, I'll hit you down there. Get open. And right before the snap, sort of Mahomes read the defense where they're bracketing Kelsey, and he just yelled, do it, do it, meaning do what you said you were going to do. And sure enough, he ran down there in the middle of the zone, turned around, and Mahomes put the ball right on him. And, those kinds of plays, man, to get him in the field goal range and then win it, that game was – that was the greatest game. That was one of the greatest playoff games I've ever seen. That thing was crazy.
It was incredible. To watch what those quarterbacks did late in that game. I think they scored 25 points in the last 2 minutes.
Three
of the
lead
game,
changes, something like that.
Which I saw a stat that Mahomes and Josh Allen scored 25 points in the last 2 minutes of that game. The New York Giants scored 26 points their last four games.
Poor Giants, man. That's not right.
I mean, we've been picking on the Cowboys enough. You have to throw in the Giants now, but.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if the Cowboys had that 13 seconds, they'd run a quarterback sneak trying to get in field goal range. But
there's some great memes about those Cowboys after that yesterday, man, when it was proven that Kansas City could actually do something with that time. You notice how quickly they handed the ball to the officials, too.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, everybody's upset about if you're not in Kansas City. The overtime rules. NFL, obviously they don't have this thing just right, because I think we can both safely say whoever won that coin toss was probably going to win the game. Definitely going to win the game.
So
they're going to go down and score a touchdown.
With the current overtime rules, if you win the toss in the playoffs,
yes,
the team that wins the toss is 10-1.
That's correct. Because you're going to take the ball 10 mm-hmm. out of 10 times, right? I mean, you got to have the ball, because the team that scores a touchdown first, the game is over. They don't have to touch the football.
But they've won 10 out of the 11 playoff games in the current format, the rules.
It's too lopsided. Yeah. It has to be changed.
Yeah, it's not over 90% of the time the team that wins the toss wins.
Right. Now, in the past, I would have said, before this certain streak, I'd have said, football involves playing defense, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's skewed way too far on the offensive side now, and to the point where, the stat you just mentioned. So why are you leaving games that are so important up to heads or tails? It just makes no sense. They don't want them to play, forever and say, we're going to play another 10-minute quarter where, the clock ends, it ends. And that's for safety reasons and things like that. How much football can these guys be subjected to? But yeah, man, just what a finish. What an absolute finish that game. I'm going to watch it again because I was kind of had one eye on it and one eye on my computer, which is probably why my story's not that good, if I need an excuse. But, man, the people in the press box at Raymond James were yelping when some of those plays were made, you know, especially the throws by Josh Allen. Just incredible. And then Mahomes. I think we forgot how great Mahomes was. I think if it's possible to underrate a guy as rated as Patrick Mahomes is, I think we've done that. We've managed to make him immortal.
Well, I mean, you know, he got beat up pretty good in the Super Bowl last year. And he didn't have much of an offensive line. And then they got off to a horrendous start to the season. And many have written him off. And so, yeah, it's and you've got a crop of some younger quarterbacks coming up, the Josh Allens, the Justin Herberts, the Joe Burrows.
Yep.
You know, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, Mahomes is kind of yesterday's news. Well, not so fast.
Exactly right. He is still, I mean, he's about to go to his fourth straight AFC championship. He, you know, he lost.
Not just
Tom
going
Brady
to four straight.
His first one.
Hosting four straight. First time ever.
Hosting four straight champ. I mean, that's for the fans of Kansas City and for the owners. What a treat this guy has provided you. And he's only, I think he's only 26, maybe not 27 years old, 27 years old or so. He's going to play a long time. And between him, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, you know, boy, it's going to be fun
Herbert.
To watch the AFC over the next few years. Justin Herbert, right. Derek Carr. I mean, seems like all the good quarterbacks are in the AFC right now.
The younger ones. True. I mean, you got the Rodgers and the Wilsons and the Brady.
You got
Stafford
and Wilsons.
And the
yeah.
NFC.
Yeah. 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 But the studs, the young studs are over the NBA, and they're going to have a hell of a time playing each other every year. It's going to be just wild. It's going to be, you know, as you mentioned the other night, Manning, Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady esque between those three. So who knows how many Super Bowls they'll put together. Just, you know. The fun weekend. I mean, this weekend of football, I've watched these shows all day, and everybody's universally like, the best weekend in the National Football League's history. And look at the players that played it. Look at the all time greats that were in these games. You know, just hard to argue is right. So now that football's over, we got lots of time for everything else, right? How about racing? How about the 18th annual Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg? This race is phenomenal. And, of course, this year it's happening a little bit earlier, at February 25th to the 27th. They take, of course, that great course through St. Petersburg that wraps around Pioneer Park and the Dali Museum and ends up, of course, at Albert Rudert Airport. If you want information on tickets and other things, go to this website, gpstpete.com. That's gpstpete.com for all your race information and tickets. Final shout out to our friend Dick Vitale, Diggy V, who is frequently asks us in different things about the Bucks, and, of course, just, you know, the greatest sports ambassador in the world, Mr. Enthusiasm. I guess he's going to be silenced, which is something, you know, is not good for him as a broadcaster, but he's had a little strain on his vocal cords recently. He says that they are improving because he's taking, you know, doing the treatment, but the ESPN, he won't be able to watch games for them and call games for them for a little while longer. So healing vibes to Dick Vitale. I feel for him. Steve, I don't know, you've been following him on Twitter. Like, he is chronicling his battle with cancer in the most real and raw way you can imagine. And the strength of this guy is incredible. And the prayers that he gets, he says, are invaluable and uplifting and all of that. But I just feel for him so much because I get to, you know, he lets us in on, you know, his toughest moments right now. But he does it to let you know that he's fighting, to let you know you should, you know, the old Jimmy V thing, don't give up, don't ever give up. And he's the embodiment of right now. And I just think it's so remarkable that he'll put himself out there and be vulnerable as he's been during this time, you know, just to raise awareness and money to sort of help prevent, especially kids with pediatric cancer.
Well, this fight against cancer has been personal for him for years. I mean, there's no bigger ambassador for particularly pediatric cancer, but fighting cancer than Dick Vitale, putting his time, his resources, his money. He writes books, and every penny of it goes to you know, fighting cancer research and his galas and this. And now that, you know, it's a personal battle for him that he's fighting, you know, he's still out there trying to educate and raise resources and funds and to try to find a cure for cancer, which, you know, at some point strikes everybody. You know, someone you know, someone close to you, someone in your family. I mean, it's a nasty disease. And you know, even when he's fighting it, he's not letting that stop his enthusiasm for trying to find a cure and help people, you know, fight this terrible disease.
He's so positive. He's so thankful. And, you know, despite going through this time with the chemo, with all the things, he's living life. He's living life. He's not slowing down. He's doing everything he can to enjoy the time that he has, as we all should, whether we're healthy or have some awful diagnosis. That's what I respect about him, is that the guy is, you know, putting himself out there and showing everybody, being the example that he has been. Really remarkable stuff. So say a little prayer for Dickie V, and hopefully we get to see him and hear him on the college basketball soon. So we're going to miss him. We're going to miss that voice. You're going to miss, he is the voice of college basketball, period. And that's what I always think about when I think about college basketball. So that'll be a loss, but we hope he gets well and gets well soon. All right. I know you guys have a ton of questions about the Bucks, about their offseason, about Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, obviously, their free agents. You can ask us any of those questions. We're going to have a mailbag tomorrow. It's a big one, man, at the end of the NFL season. And you don't have to restrict it to the NFL. Major League Baseball is making some progress, allegedly, or at least having talks. That's progress on their collecting bargaining agreement. So you can ask about the Rays. Obviously, the Lightning, still very much in play. They play on Thursday night against New Jersey and then Saturday against Las Vegas. They're back off their long West Coast trip, so getting a few days to rest and recover from that before they crank it back up again on Thursday. But anything you want to bring to the table, just send it to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB. My email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. You can reach this podcast on Twitter as well, on at SportsDayTB. And, you know, send it to us. We'll answer your questions 100% correctly, guaranteed, or your money back. We'll do that on tomorrow's podcast. And we got lots of stuff, I'm sure, that'll be popping up for the rest of the week in the NFL. Maybe find out some more news about Byron Leftwich and his visit to Jacksonville. Still waiting for an NFL team to hire a coach. You know, there's been a lot of openings in this league that are still open. Some teams are trying to settle their GM situation first. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And we've got, you know, even John Spytek, of course, interviewed for the Minnesota GM's job. So there's a lot of changes that could be occurring at One Buck Place, not just with the players, but also the coaching staff and perhaps the front office. So we'll delve into that as well. Thanks for listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.